God, we give you thanks that you are God, creator of heavens and earth, and you call us your children, the beloved. And we're here to worship you, Lord, follow you. We thank you for this text in Matthew of salt and light. Help us to more faithfully follow you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Salt and light. I was thinking about my sermon title of being salty. I looked it up in the Urban Dictionary. Don't take that definition for what I'm trying to encourage you this morning. To stay salty is to have a bitter, complaining attitude, according to the Urban Dictionary. So that's not the direction I'm trying to go this morning. that's taking the words of Jesus of staying salty and shining bright. I was thinking about light, and actually at our last First Step Incorporated board meeting, we talked about light quite a bit. Chris's update on the building, he shared that new lights have been coming into the building. I don't know if you've noticed them. It helps to save on our electric bill with LED lights. And then we talked about our church sign out front and that we need better lighting so that people can see the sign. And so there is discussion about how we do that better and for the new sign to have better lighting. And then in the First Step meeting, we also talked about reports from the congregation, things going on in the life of the church. And one of the discussions was how our building is being rented out in some really cool ways to deaf services in our community. They're accessing the bottom space of our church. And I can tell you, being here, there are people constantly coming through this building, accessing deaf services in our community. It is so cool to see. And this past week, I was up here in the fellowship hall, and there was just people mingling in and out, just coming through, eating together, sharing, supporting one another. It's just part of the deaf services. And so I'm connecting that report from the First Deaf meeting to light being shown right here through how we use our space, this physical space, to be a light in our community. The study of light is called optics. It's a segment of the physics world. So Neil could certainly explain this way better than I, but I did a quick Google search on light. It has everything to do with things such as polarization, diffraction, reflection, using mirrors, optical fibers, lenses is all part of the study of light. But to put it simply, think about a bunch of waves going on throughout. You have sound waves, you have cell phone waves, you have visible light waves. The visible light waves are just a small part of what is called the electromagnetic spectrum. And it's just, think of it like all this energy of waves running through on the electromagnetic spectrum. And just a small part of those waves is visible light traveling through in a wave-like manner. And I thought, man, that's kind of cool to think, like, just a part of those waves we can see as visible light. And then to think about what we're trying to do here at Whitmer Heights, to be a light. We are just a small part of a much bigger thing going on in the kingdom of God. We have a few people in the photograph business, Wes, Jonathan. They can help to explain light as well. And then I was thinking about, well, who here knows something about salt? You know, salt is something that we enjoy to flavor our food. It's actually part of, like, electrolytes. We actually need salt to live. And I was thinking, well, who would you go to talk about salt here at our church? I was like, you know, if you want to learn about salt, just go to our fellowship meal today. You know, we will have a case study in the deliciousness of salt at our meal. So salt and light. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus here is on a mountain. And probably in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it was just a small group of disciples. But we know by the end, there was crowds of people gathering towards Jesus as he's teaching about the kingdom of God. Mennonites, as I've shared before, love the Sermon on the Mount. We're drawn to these texts in Matthew 5 to 7 because it's practical words from Jesus of how to follow him in the kingdom. And so, if we're going to understand what it means to be people of salt and light, we need to look at the context of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking about here. So let's just back up a tiny bit to the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, let's start in verse 2. This is right before Jesus is talking about salt and light. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If we want to know what Jesus is talking about, salt and light, there it is, friends. That's probably the best picture we can get of what salt and light Jesus is trying to get at. To be people who mourn. To be people who are meek and humble. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. This is giving us a picture of what Jesus is talking about here. As we talked about salt and light, they point to something bigger going on. Salt, in and of itself, the point is to flavor something delicious. Jesus points to the utility of salt and light. For light, Jesus is pointing to the way light spills over its surroundings. The lights of a city on a hill are a beacon to others. A lamp is meant to light a room. And then Jesus makes this connection between salt and light and righteousness. Some of the words that we heard in the Beatitudes. In verse 16, Jesus is explicitly clear. He declares, as followers of Jesus, in the kingdom of God, we ought to be like light on a city on a hill. We ought to reflect the goodness of God so that others might see the shape of God's goodness. What Jesus is pointing us to here, I think, is he's inviting us to consider and notice how light does not belong to us, but it's an overflow of what God is doing in this world. It begins first and foremost with God's grace overflowing the light of the world. We shine that out, starting with God's grace first. Our good works that Jesus talks about are not ours, in that they do not belong just to us. We are not the source of the good works. We are only the conduits of God's righteousness, symbols pointing to a greater reality, the kingdom of God. Signposts lighting the way to God's righteousness, not our own righteousness. That glory belongs to your Father in heaven, we read in verse 16. And so to be, sum it up short and sweet, salt and light do not exist for themselves, but they point to something bigger going on. We are a part of a bigger story. Our salt and our light points to that story. As I think about last week's theme, the one thing I ask and that I may know to be in the house of the Lord forever. There's this movement from last week to this week. From last week to be in the presence of God. This constant awareness of being in the house of the Lord. And now this movement this week into something going out. Into sharing what we experience in the presence of God. This movement of recognizing that the one thing that I ask that I may be in the house of the Lord. And now here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus saying, this thing that you have is not to be kept private. It's not to be personalized. We talk about the language of a personal, and personal is so appropriate to understand our walk with Jesus. But it's not private. If we read the Sermon on the Mount here and salt and light, this is about shining something out for others to see, that it may point to something bigger going on, the kingdom of God. It's our common witness together to share that light. I want us to pay attention to a very important word in this. It's a Greek word. You. You are the light of the world. If you look at that Greek word, haimis, you, it's the plural version of the word. And I think sometimes when we think of the word, you are a light, we immediately individualize it. And maybe that's just part of being in our Western individual world. I think, well, how am I shining my light? But if we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount here in the original Greek, that you is a plural. You collectively shine a light as the church. It kind of changes the way we think about the question, honestly. It's not just me personally. It's a collective work of shining light and being salt. And so we kind of ask the question, how are we shining the light? Well, I was thinking about people in your different contexts, in your vocational work, in your volunteering, in even in how you do life together. And all of that is a part of how you shine your light. Todd, you shared before as a mechanic, you are shining your light, but you're not doing it individually. You're doing it with the other mechanics. The way you prayed for one another when that coworker died. There was a collective coming together. Holding one another in prayer in that incredible loss of a coworker. It was not you alone, it was a collective work. Some of you are in the agriculture business. As you meet other farmers, customers, it's not an individual work of you shining your light alone, but there is this collective sense of together, we're in this, shining light. Even how you educate your children, whether it's through public school or Christian school or homeschooling, there is a sense of collectively shining light together as a family. Every interaction we have with one another is an opportunity to create value in the kingdom of God, of a way to shine our light in relationships with our neighbors, etc. But the thing here that sticks out to me is that it's not something we do alone, but collectively. That's what Jesus is getting at here in the Sermon on the Mount. February is Black History Month, and I'm really drawn to a quote by Martin Luther King, the Reverend Martin Luther King, in a book, A Testament of Hope, The Essential Writings and Speeches. He has this quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And this past week has just been hard in a lot of different ways. Whether it's the coronavirus or the political things going on, no matter what side you're on, it just feels heavy. Polarization in the church feels heavy. There's just news again of another church split in one of our sister denominations. And I'm just coming back to this quote here of Martin Luther King, this reminder to be united in love. It's so simple, but man, it's powerful. Can we be reminded this morning that part of being salt and light is to be a people of Christ's love? Martin Luther King Jr. could not talk about love without talking about the source of that love, which is Christ. It was the Reverend Martin Luther King. And so I was drawn to John 1:5. In him is life, and that life is the light of the world. And so that love that is known most fully in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, let's let that love shape us as we are salt and light as we go out. Now, I want us to shift just a tiny bit here to another part of what Jesus is saying. And it's a little bit tricky, I think, to know how to handle this one. But Jesus says, if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And where I'm wrestling a little bit here with Jesus is, well, what if I am just feeling like I don't have a whole lot of saltiness right now? Or what if I just feel like my light's kind of dim and flickering? Or maybe even it feels like it's kind of going out. Where is Jesus in that? And certainly we want to hold Jesus' words here, this wonderful encouragement to stay salty. But I think we have to also look at all of who Jesus is for the way Jesus holds us in those times when we're not feeling as salty or if our light feels a little dim. And I immediately went to the disciple Thomas or Peter. I like both of those characters in the Bible because they give us glimpses of disciples trying to follow Jesus and they're just honest. I don't get it. Over and over and over again, I deny Jesus, or I just have doubts like Thomas. I need to see proof, Jesus, that you are the living Christ. I like those characters because I can identify with them in some of my wrestlings and my doubts. And I love the way Jesus responds to them. How does Jesus respond to doubting Thomas or to Peter who just doesn't get it? He doesn't give up on them. He doesn't give up on them. He holds them in their doubts and in their fears and in their just plain getting it wrong. And his grace continues to hold them. And so this morning, I just feel like we need to be encouraged to know that Jesus is here too. That if you feel like your salty just lost its taste, Christ is still there. A bright church gives room for darkness to be named at times. A salty church says, I don't have much taste right now sometimes too. And we're going to hold you in together on the way. I'm drawn to a quote from Brené Brown. Owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. And so it's this encouragement to not run from those times of darkness, but to keep exploring them, trusting the faithful love of God and the grace of God that will hold us in there. And another quote that's similar, Brennan Manning, Abba's Child, The Cry of the Heart for Intimate Belonging, quote, in a futile attempt to erase our past, we deprive the community of our healing gift. If we conceal our wounds out of fear and shame, our inner darkness can neither be illuminated nor become a light for others. If we can see Jesus' response to Peter and doubting Thomas, that he doesn't give up on them, but he holds them in his loving embrace and grace, that's encouraging for me. And I hope it can be encouraging for you if you're not feeling very salty or feeling very bright this morning. Jesus can handle your doubt. His deep and profound compassion can hold you. And the church community will hold you too on the way. And finally, in conclusion, A salty and bright church pays attention to both mercy and to justice. A salty and bright church cares about mercy and justice. I love Micah 6:8. And Jesus certainly knew the Old Testament prophet's words so well. And I would imagine as Jesus was saying the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, he had Micah 6:8 running in the back of his mind. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God? And so a salty and bright church is both merciful and justice-minded and walks humbly with God. At the ministerium meeting on Tuesday at Everence, Joel Keim, who's pastor at Faith Church right down the road here, he had just an awesome, encouraging word for all of us as a ministerium. He said, the church has to care about mercy and justice. And too often the church is so focused on mercy that we forget justice. He gave this example. You're at a park and you see somebody in a stream, kind of struggling to breathe, like they're almost drowning. So, well, of course we're going to go over and rescue that person from the water. What else would we do? Of course we're going to go every single time to rescue that person out of the water. That is the mercy at work in the church. That is being salt and light. And that is Micah 6:8. Practice mercy. But he says, you're at the park and over again, all these people are in the water drowning and you keep going and saving them and keep going and saving them and keep going and saving them. That's the church of mercy. But he said, at some point you say, why are all these people in the water? What is going on here that so many people are drowning? Because I'm exhausted trying to save them. And he says, that's where the church of justice is at work. It asks the questions, why are there so many people in the stream? The church of justice looks at the underlying things going on that's causing so much brokenness and the need for mercy to respond. And so the church of justice in the Conestoga Valley Ministerium cares about the systemic reasons of racism going on in our community, in our school districts. Criminal justice reform, mental health, and the lack of really resources that we need, addiction, housing insecurities, sex exploitation in our communities, social inequality and the income gap. That's the church of justice that has to care just as much about those underlying things going on in order to have a church of justice and mercy. It's hard work. Probably the work of mercy is a little bit easier to know how to respond sometimes because it's immediate needs that we can go and be a part of. The church of justice, well, it can get a little bit politically risky, if we're honest, because all of those issues that I just named are often put in a political category. Well, that's left, that's right. But the church of justice has to care about these things if we are going to take Micah 6:8 and the Beatitudes and salt and light seriously as followers of Jesus. I see that here in our congregation. It's happening. And my encouragement is keep doing it. Keep digging in to the church of mercy and the church of justice. In conclusion, we're moving towards Lent. We're moving towards Jesus' journey to the cross, where the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, enters the darkness of the grave. And we're invited this morning to think of how we are salt and light as followers of Christ. To be salt and light, to recognize when there's times of darkness or dry or no taste of salt, and to know how we are a church of mercy and justice. Where is God in this story for you? Where are you being challenged? Maybe you feel like Thomas or Peter. But let us let our light shine, or maybe just flicker softly. And let us, as this text ends, join together in saying, may it give glory to God our Father in heaven. Amen.